If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws on our IRIB English Radio about the medical issues, let me ask you this question. It is somehow related to some of the previous questions in the previous, let's say, programs. And because of the shortage of time, we couldn't afford to ask those questions. You know, we were talking about IVF, for example, you know, scenarios or surrogate or surrogacy and surrogate mother, you know, whether it's Islamically permissible or not. So for those of you who are interested to know the answers, we advise you actually to go back to our previous programs to listen to them. I'd like to ask you this question in this program that, you know, some childless couples get separated, and mainly because of the strains and stresses they feel because of the marriage, you know. And due to the fact that the wife is, for example, barren, right, and infertile, and because of the ovulation, for example, problems.
Sure.
So is it permissible, Islamically speaking, to use an egg donated by another woman, right, to carry out the fertilization procedure in a tube, for example, by the husband's sperms and the implementation of the fertilized eggs in the wife's womb?
Okay, great question. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no legal objection or problem in carrying out the said procedure in itself. But the born child belongs to the genetic parents. The genetic parents are the parents who gave sperm and eggs. They are the genetic parents. And therefore, it is problematic. There is objection in referring the baby to the mother who became pregnant with it. You know, the mother who, in whose womb, for example, the child grew up and then turned and evolved into a child is not the mother, according to His Eminence. And there is a problem in referring, you know, that child to that mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ayatollah Khamenei, just as I said in one of the previous answers to the previous questions, they should observe caution, ihtiyat, insofar as the Shari rules governing lineage are concerned. You know, the issue becomes a little bit complicated because on the one hand, the mother who became pregnant with the child is not a mother, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And then the mother is the woman who gave eggs to be fertilized with the sperm of the man, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband is the husband of the man, of the woman who became pregnant with the
right.
child. So there is confusion, you know. Ayatollah Khamenei says at the end of the day, you have to exercise precaution and you must do whatever that you make sure that the child goes back to the parents, to the genetical, the genetic parents,
yes,
yeah. And the child belongs to those parents.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back and you know, continue our questions around the medical issues in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammed Jadal, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws on medical issues? Well, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Well, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to use the sperm of the husband after his death? You know, some people actually freeze their sperm.
Sure.
In fertilizing an egg taken from his wife and implanted inside her womb. So one question is that whether it is permissible or not. And the other question is that does this child belong to the dead husband and also inherit from the father?
That's a good question. And this is a current question also, because this is the time in which science and technology have improved and have advanced to such an extent where the father may not be alive, but still he is giving, he is procreating even after his death. So Ayatollah Khamenei says that there is no harm in carrying out the procedure in itself. It is permissible in and of itself, of course. The born child belongs to the mother to whom the egg and the womb belong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it belongs to the mother. Now, Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is not remote to attribute the baby to the husband. So it's not very much unlikely that the child may belong to the husband who is no longer alive, but he is dead. But the sperm still belongs to that man who is dead. So he is says that it's not far from likely that the child belongs to the same husband who's dead and to whom the sperm belongs. But you know, when it comes to inheritance, whether the child inherits his father and does he receive anything from the property left by the deceased father or not, Ayatollah Khamenei says that the baby does not inherit anything from his deceased father.
Mm-hmm. I see.
He does not.
Okay. And, you know, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for a woman whose husband is sterile?
Yes.
To be artificially inseminated with a sperm from a non-mahram man, other than her husband, of course. In other words, through placing the sperm in her womb. And does it differ? Does it matter if it is not her womb and then this fertilization is done, in fact, in a test tube?
When it comes to the preliminary steps, which are, of course, haram, like, you know, looking and touching, there is no doubt that, you know, these are the steps, the preliminary steps, which are haram. Ayatollah Khamenei says that there is no legal impediment to inseminating a woman with the sperm of a non-mahram man, but if it is, you know, if it does not involve, you know, if it does not involve haram preliminaries, like for example, if it's done outside the in a laboratory, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the born child in this way does not belong to the husband of the woman, rather to the person who donated the sperm. And the woman whose eggs and womb were used in the process, you know, this is the answer given by His Eminence in his book Ajwibatul Istifta'at, which says that of course if it does not include any haram preliminaries like looking and touching and of course you know seeing the private parts, and if these things are not involved, if these things are not included, then there is no objection. But you know, there is no doubt that such looking and touching are there, and mm-hmm. it cannot, you know, the fertilization or the insemination cannot take place without looking and touching.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers. Well, thank you for listening to our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل.
سميع بصير.